Amen.
Amen.
Say amen again.
Amen.
We are blessed to be in the house of the Lord this morning.
Amen.
For those of us at home, we are blessed to be on the time side of life and in the right state of mind to worship God.
Amen.
For God is worthy of our praise.
Amen.
The Bible says that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we hope, trust, and pray that you would be able to put aside what is currently going on in your life. There's so many things that are going on in this world. But this is the time that has been set aside for our great God, that we can worship him, that we can pay homage to him, to blow a kiss of servitude and love, to prostrate ourselves before the Creator, to let him know that in spite of everything that I'm going through, in spite of the pains or the struggles that I deal with, Lord, you are worthy of my time. You are worthy of my praise. And having that foresight to see something that is afar off, the distance of our great salvation, can motivate us to that in spite of the foreign land that we are living in, that we have a eternal home on the other side of death. And we hope, trust, and pray that you are able to worship God. It's good to be here this morning. We are thankful that Brother Gary has allowed us to come and share this pulpit. We pray that something said today will help us grow closer to God in heaven. If you open your Bibles this morning, we're going to start at the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 1. This is a time of the year where we're back to school. The school bells are ringing. The kids are back in school, and it is a happy time. I remember the fresh number 2 pencils sitting down in class, and the smell of the being in the classroom was just a wonderful thing. And it was also a great thing to know that I had straight A's at the beginning of the semester. I had straight A's. You have straight A's now, and it's only you are in control if you can keep those straight A's going. And it is a wonderful thing. We're praying for all of our teachers, all of our students, all of our principals, our administrators, the janitors, the college professors, the bus drivers, those who are building future schools, those who are in, just taking care of our children. We want to pray for them. There's so much turmoil that's going on, and to try to keep them safe, and not going to tell you how to run your family, but protect you and your family. And as for me and my house, we're going to wear our masks. But you decide to do what you're going to do. I love the fact that you have submitted to the leadership of the of this congregation to wear your mask inside of worship to protect not just yourself, but for others. And if we do contract the virus, let God be merciful to us and our health. And so the Bible says in Daniel chapter 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. These he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylonia and put in the treasure house of God. Then king ordered Ashpath, chief of his court officials, to bring into the king's service some of the Israelites from a royal family and nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified in the service of the king's palace. And he is to teach them the language and literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. And they were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, they were to enter the king's service. Among those who were chosen were some from Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, he gave Belshazzar. To Hananiah, he gave Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. I want you to see that you are in a foreign land. You are no longer amongst people who love the theme or the teachings of Christianity. There are things that we used to be able to say out loud, but you can no longer say. You're going to offend the great masses. You are in a foreign land. And we see here is Daniel. We know that Daniel made up in his mind that he would not defile himself. We love the fact that he would not bow before the God of Nebuchadnezzar. But how was it that he was able to remain focused and not defile himself? I want you to see that from his childhood, and at this point he's an adolescent, he is a teenager, a young man, but it was from his upbringing that he knew that I don't care what name you give me. I don't care how long you teach me in the college. I don't care what kind of influence, even if you take me from my homeland, I will not succumb to this environment. Because I know who I am, and I knew who I was before I was placed in this predicament. And so I speak to all the young people, those in this building and those at home, that you need to know who you are when you go to the schoolhouse. You need to know who you are when you get your first boyfriend. You need to know who you are when you get your first girlfriend. You need to know who you are when you're around your friends and they offer you something not authorized by your parents or by our Heavenly Father. And they were able to understand that from a young age, the names meant something. Now, I'm going to tell you what their names mean. Daniel means God is my judge. That E-L has the connotation to deal with the Lord, our Heavenly Father. It means God is my judge. So every time his name was called, he was reminded of who he was. God will judge. Get over here. God is my judge. Wash the dishes. God is my judge. Fix your bed. If you understand, he was reminded from childhood who he was. So that by the time he got his new name Belshazzar, he knew in his mind, I am Daniel, a servant of the mighty Father. He didn't have to be programmed or wait till he's in a situation to change. And I have to ask you, who are you? If I was to ask you who you are, you would tell me your name. That's your name. You were given that name, but that's not who you are. Who are you? Somebody may ask me, I'm a captain in the fire department. That's good. That's your job, but that's not who you are. I'm a doctor. I'm a lawyer. I'm a student in college at the Baylor College of Medicine. I'm a student, but that's not who you are. Who are you? Do you know who you are as an adult? And it's more important for our children to know who they are, because they're going to leave your house one day and they're going to be faced with similar challenges as you and I have failed in the past. We've done some things we don't want the church to know about. Who are you? And so Hananiah, the name means Yah is gracious. That Yah is Yahweh, short for Yahweh, is Yah is gracious. Every time his name was called Hananiah, God is gracious. Mishael, his name meant who is what God is. Who is what God is. Every time his name was called, he was reminded of who he is. Azariah, the name Yah has helped. God has helped. Every time his name was called. Why are you taking so much time? Because I want you to understand that in the names that they have been given at birth, that's who they are. And they remain that their entire life. Your identity may not be have given to you at a child. Your name may not have a level of significance as far as to the Father, but your name is a given name. Who you are is who you are. Who are you? You are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in this body. That body that you live in is not who you really are. It will pass on, but your soul will live for eternity. Amen. And what you have placed in your soul throughout this entire life will dictate the decisions that you make for the rest of your life. And we need to start as our young people to teach them who they are. This summer, I had the kids at the house, and I was thankful. And we planned a number of different things. I wanted to do everything. We wanted to go skating, bowling, all these other things. But I also wanted to teach them. We had a Church of Christ class. And in the Church of Christ class, we would go through the different religions. We studied Catholicism. We studied the Methodist Church. We studied the Baptist church. I want them to understand, I'm not taking you to the Church of Christ just because I say so. From the scriptures, we can identify what is wrong according to the scripture and take out and weed out that there's only one church that you read about in the Bible. And so that whenever they are confronted with a different type of belief or doctrine, they know who they are from the beginning. Now, neither one of my children are baptized, but I don't have to wait for them to be baptized to receive the message from the Lord. And so I place a charge on the parents, even the ones who have left your home, that you sit down and let the child know who they are before it's too late. Well, brother, when is it too late? It's never too late as long as they're on the time side of life. You want to try to have a better relationship so they'll listen to us. A lot of time we disqualify Christianity by the way that we live. The things that go on in our home, I've been guilty of it myself. Wretched at times. Embarrassing, and I have to fix that so that I can live a life that is worthy of the calling, not just for my soul's salvation, but for the children that God has gave me charge of. And you have charge of your children, and God is going to hold you accountable. And so Daniel, in that foreign land, knew who he was. And so he was able to do what he did, to not defile himself with the king's food. We know what Daniel did. We know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they would not bow down. Why was it? Because they knew who they were. Amen. And so in school, I remember we learned different degrees. We learned the positive degree. We learned the comparative degree. And we learned the superlative degree. The positive degree is an example. Luke is a tall boy. Chevy is as strong as Ford. She is a beautiful girl. This is good. The comparative degree compares something to something else. So the train is faster than the bus. She is smarter than. And the superlative degree is the highest. Lead is the heaviest metal. Randall is the strongest boy in the class. Good, better, and best. Now, what I want you to do is place yourself and truly be honest with yourself. Are you a good Christian? Could you be a better Christian? Are you the best Christian? Now, we have so many things that are going on in this world, but I want us to take a look around the world real quick so we can have a better perspective of what's currently going on. If my brothers in the booth would place that slideshow up for me. We're going to look at a few places that are around the world so we can understand that. And I want you to compare. Are you living in a good condition? Could there be better conditions? Or is there a best condition? Y'all brothers, y'all. Now, here it is. And the Taliban has taken over major cities in Afghanistan. We understand it. We see it all over the news. Next slide. There's a major earthquake in Haiti. Major earthquake with 7.2 magnitude recently. The island of Haiti, this country has endured so much political turbulence, foreign meddling, humanitarian crisis, and is now, this devastating earthquake has left more than 300 people dead and many missing and displaced. Next slide. In Israel, they continue to demolish Pakistan homes, and we understand in East Jerusalem they have been, the Palestinians and Israel have been, they've been battling for a number of years. Continue. And Syria is still suffering from a 10-year-long war. The people of Syria are remaining struggling in the devastating civil war that has led more than 500,000 people dead and the shortage of water, food, electricity, and freedom. Most 7 million people have fled from Syria, fear their lives, making them the largest group of refugees in the world. Continue. In Iran, the COVID-19 death hikes due to limited vaccine access. Iran, the state of TV, has reported that at least one person is dying every 2 minutes due to COVID, making Iran the worst hit country in the Middle East. With imports of U.S. and British-made vaccines being banned, only 3.3% of the total population of the 880 million has been fully vaccinated, and access to adequate medicine and food is in short supply. Next slide. In Ethiopia, battling ongoing humanitarian crisis and genocide, the war in Africa's second most populous country is growing in humanitarian crisis with mass starvation, limited access to food and water, regions where Tigray and Amhara face brutal genocide, leaving thousands dead and fleeing for their lives. Next slide. And Cuba, facing the worst food shortage since 1990s, after thousands protest, they've complained of the short lines of food and medication, and it's due to the 60-year-long embargo that in Cuba they're suffering with shortage of food. Next slide. And Yemen faces the largest humanitarian crisis in the world. After 6 years of violent war, approximately 21 million people need humanitarian assistance of Yemen's 29 million population. The United Nations reports 16.2 million people are extremely short on food, and 2.3 million children under the age of 5 will suffer from malnutrition this year. Okay, so we took a grim view of the world state, okay? And it's going to take some time to lift you up after seeing that. But sometimes we complain about our current state. And you don't have it that bad. Some of us, if you earn $34,000, did you know that you are in the top 1% in the world? If you earn a salary of $34,000, if you earn a salary of $11,000, you are in the top 14% in the entire world. You need to have a perspective of your complaining. If you are in a good country, now that we have our problems. Lord knows we have our problems. But we need to have a perspective, young people and our older folk, of where we live and the blessings that are afforded to us. Now, some of us ate breakfast this morning or we'll eat dinner or sometime this day, but there are people around this world who are starving. So there's good, there's better, and there's best. But God has kept us from bad, worse, or the worst. We need to have a better perspective of our current lives and our conditions. And if God has given you so much, much is going to be expected. From this congregation and any member of the Church of Christ throughout the land, we are the children of God. We can live for God. We can learn that, you know, God has been blessing to us. God has been merciful to us. It is not because of how good I am that I live and drive the car or live in the home or have the access to so much love and support. God has been good to us. And having that perspective will cause me not to complain. I am thankful for what he has done. Now, with knowing that, we can choose to do better with our time. Turn to your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. The Bible says, this is where with Mary and Martha with Jesus. The Bible says, as Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to the village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She and her sister Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what was said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed. Indeed, only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." I want you to see that Martha was doing a good thing. She's doing work around the house, preparing food, making sure the place is clean, preparing for the whatever they were going to do that evening. And there's nothing wrong with working. There's nothing wrong with preparing your house. There's nothing wrong with having a job. There's nothing wrong with teaching and working and doing the things that are around us. But Mary did a better thing. She was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to the word from God. And I ask you, we do so much working for God, but how much time do we spend with the Lord? There's so many things that are a distraction in our lives. Netflix, Hulu, Disney Plus, Disney Plus is awesome. So many, now you got the Peacock Station. You got all these new avenues to distract you from what's really important. And we do these things for leisure, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's a good thing. But is there something better I could be doing with my time? That's good, that's better, and that's best. How much time have I spent with the Lord? How much time have I spent talking to my children about the blessings of the Lord? How much time have I spent loving my wife? How much time have I wasted? Wasting on many things that I could do better things in my life. Amen. Young people, you will come home and you got to do your homework. That's a good thing. But it's a better thing to get your homework done and then have some time to study and spend with the Lord. And learn his word. And it's a great thing. It's the best thing is for the parent to instruct a certain time that we can study the word of God. Have we been in Bible class? Have we been studying? Brother Edward Doe is putting together programs and trying to teach and put lessons together. Are we logging into class? Or are we doing something that we think is better? You can do good. But there's maybe some better that we can do. Now here's Martha with her sister and they're bickering. She's upset. She goes to the Lord. And I love the fact that she had that relationship with him and said, God, Lord, don't you see I'm working? Have her help me. I want you to have that relationship, that we got a good relationship with our Father, that we can talk to him and tell him what's going on. Amen. But I love his response. He didn't say, who are you talking to? He said, Martha, Martha, you're upset about many things. And there's a lot of times that arguments are happening in our home. And the wife, she's just concerned about many things. She's got the kids that need to be taken care of, the food that may need to be cooked, the dishes may need to be washed, the laundry may need to be done. She's got stuff on her job. She's dealing with emotional issues that may have happened to her at a younger age. She's dealing with things you've done and said to her that she still has to resonate and try to forgive you every day for. And over again, she's dealing with all these things. And you looking at her, what's wrong with her? It's okay. It's a good thing to be worried about so many things. But me as men need to understand that, she's got a lot on her mind. Amen. And so instead of going right back, you can say, Martha, Martha, or Portia, Portia, whatever your wife's name. Now, don't you say Portia, Portia. I'm going to say that. However it is, having that good relationship is what we want. And I see that with God, and I see that in how he deals with things. And we want to have a better understanding that there are distractions in this world. You are in a foreign land that's trying to take you away from your biblical knowledge. There are things that you can't even talk about on the job because it's against school work policy. But you still take time for the Lord. There may be somebody hurting on your job. And you may be the only light to share with them. It's good to listen to them, but it's better to give them advice from the Lord. There's good, there's better, and there's best. And I ask you to just grade yourself. I remember we used to take quizzes in school, and I loved the ones where I was able to grade myself. Okay? And they, say, you take a quiz, and then they give, you don't pass nobody, grade yourself. I'm like, man, okay, I got that one right. And then pass it in. Free grade, man, free grade. Now, I should have been honest and left the ones that I got wrong on there, but I changed it. I want you to grade yourself. Now, I use that example because some of us grade ourselves as good parents. I'm a good spouse. I'm good. I don't need to do no correction. Really? Really? I'm asking you to be honest with yourself because in the day of judgment, God is going to tell you how you did. And you can lie to yourself your entire life. I'm a good husband. I'm a good father. I'm a good mother. But God knows who you really are. And you need to know who you really are. And it's through that identification and being honest with yourself that only change will be made. If you can't be told anything, somebody brings something to you and it bothers you to where you get out of my life, there's no help for you. There's no help. And we need to be honest with ourselves. There's good, there's better, and there's best. Amen. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse number 13, the Bible said, and these people are still living by, and these people were still living by faith when they died. Who are they talking about? Talking about Abel, who offered a better sacrifice to God than Cain. Talking about Enoch, who lived life but was not. Talking about Noah and Abraham, men and women who lived for God. And by faith, they were able to accomplish a great number of things. But they were promised things that when they died, they did not receive it. How? The Bible says they only saw them and welcomed them from a distance and admitted that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. They were able to see, Abraham, I'm going to leave my homeland because I believe there's something better. You and I have to leave our initial thought to want to live this life and blend in with everybody else because we see something better in the distance. How is it that somebody who can live for the Lord can get cancer, can have a stroke, can die in the poverty level according to United States standards, can get sick or die in a car wreck? How can somebody who has served God have trouble in their life? So many of us deal with things that will bother us still to our death. But we live by faith. We see a city in the distance. And it is because of our view by faith that we see in the distance this home, this heaven where I have a crown, a robe, and a mansion. I see the walls of jasper, the streets of gold. God is the light, and there is no more death. Amen. It is because I see that land that although I may die with trouble in my life, I'm going to live my life for God because I see something in the distance. Amen. That I don't see here on this earth. I'm living by faith, and it is because of my identity. My citizenship is no longer here on this earth. That although the troubles and trials that may beset my life and all those who are around me, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And Lord, I can't live at home in this world anymore. That is my reason. That is the reason why I get up and worship. That is the reason why I teach my children. That is the reason why though I fall, I get back up. I'm not going to waddle in sin because I have heaven as my vision. It is my hope. It is my citizenship. So I can be Daniel in a land where they're trying to change my name. Now, I remember in college, I changed my name. I was a Tupac fan, and he changed his name to Machiavelli. So I was walking around calling myself Roger Velli. I thought I was cool, man. Couldn't tell me nothing. But, you know, I learned better. I went back to Raj and got my life right. And so, you know, we can expect young people to make some mistakes. Don't be hard on them. But if you will be honest, you can ask somebody. You can ask an older person. You know, I'm thinking about giving up my virginity. We've been going together for 2 or 3 years, and I'm thinking about having sex for the first time. Talk to your mama about that. What would be your answer? You can give some good advice.
Amen.
Baby, protect yourself.
Right.
And we want you to protect yourself, but don't do it.
Amen.
There's good advice. There's better advice. And there's the best advice.
Amen.
The best thing to do would be to follow the Lord and abstain.
Amen.
And I know it's hard. The temptation is there.
Yeah.
And don't think that the older folk don't, they just don't want to tell you what they did.
Right.
You're not the only one, young people, that's going through the struggle of your life. There's good decision, but also there's a better decision, and there's the best decision. As Gary always says, this Christian life is the best life you can live because it guarantees that if I live for God, I have a reward on the other side.
Amen.
And I can still receive happiness here. I can enjoy my life. I can go skating. I can go bowling. I can listen to some music. But I don't have to live in sin doing it in order to fit and be in this country in a foreign land. And it's foreign not because you were born in another place. It's foreign because as soon as we leave this building, as soon as you walk out of your neighborhood, there are many who are non-Christians, and they will look down on the teachings that you teach. They try to disqualify the Bible through science. They try to disqualify our beliefs through different doctrines and teachings. And so you are in a foreign land. No longer are you able to proclaim the name of Jesus and it be welcomed by open ears and everyone. This country is changing. The world is changing. And you and I must know our identity like Daniel did. I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. In his day, he was from the house of David of royalty, good looking. Could have done and taken those physical gifts and used them for evil, but he used them for the Lord. Now, some of us have used our good looks and when we was players, and some of the ladies, take your good looks and you use it and manipulate men and use it for your advantage. These are things that will come into your mind, but if you know who you are, if you know you are a Christian, a child of God, I can make good decisions, but I know I'm making a better decision. Yeah. And I'm going to make the best decision by following Jesus Christ. And if you're not a Christian, young people, I'm begging you today to think about, you know, I need to live for God. I need to be baptized for the remission of my sins. I need to give my life for Christ before it's everlasting, eternal, too late, because it's not guaranteed that I'm going to live to see 30. I'm not guaranteed to see 60. I'm not guaranteed to see 90. I'm blessed to be 13. I'm blessed to be 18. I'm blessed with the life that I've been given. But make sure your calling is an election sure. And make the best decision of your life. And that's to be a Christian, a child of God. For our older folk, I would say, you've been living a good Christian life. You've been coming to worship. You've been going to Bible class. All the check marks. But I ask you, and be honest, do a self-assessment. Can you be better? Can you be better? Can you be a better husband, a better father, a better wife, a better mother, a better listener? Sometimes we're always ready to speak. We're not listening. Can you be better at everything? I want to charge you today that whatever is that's set before you, whatever your job, but especially in the home, I want to be better. Not for myself, not so I can receive the praise from the church, but so that I can make and give God the glory for my life. Those who are in this text, the scripture says, the people who say this show that they were looking for a country of their own. And if they had been thinking of a country that they had left, they would have an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed that he called their God and has prepared a city for them. God has prepared a better country, even in the one that we live in, for you and I. And it is for us spiritually. You can see it spiritually if you live for the Lord. That I may not be a millionaire when I die. I may not have much to leave my children. But I know that I left them the best thing that I could ever leave them. And that's a legacy to live, that I live for Christ. That I live for Jesus. That I've done the best that I can do. I fought a good face. I fought a good fight. I have ran a good race. And I will lay hold on eternal life if I remain faithful to my Heavenly Father. There's some decisions that you need to make. You've made some old ones, and there were some bad ones. Some of the worst. But those days are over. You can make better decisions. Make a better decision in your home. And it starts today. Everything that you said before, am I doing the best that I can? I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better Christian. I want to be a better father. If I'm a student in school, I want to make better grades. I know I'm doing the best that I can, but I can do better. And if you can do your best, I remember my mom never put pressure on me to make straight A's. I was thankful for that because that wasn't going to happen no way. But she said, do the best you can. Do the best you can. So I went to school confident. I could do that. I could do that. I studied. I did the best I could. And when I couldn't do it, I told mom I couldn't do it. And I remember my Spanish teacher. She knew I was trying. I was trying. I stayed for tutoring, I just could not get Spanish. And she showed me my grade of 59. 59 at the end of the semester. And she showed me, she said, she erased it and put 70. Lord, if she had not done that, I'd still be in high school. Praise the Lord for merciful teachers. Now, I had showed effort. I had showed effort. I stayed for tutoring. So I'm saying, young people, if you're at your wit's end, it may be the best decision to stay and do the best you can and then ask for mercy. And for the teachers, you give some mercy from now and then if you feel they've earned it. If you're not a Christian, you become a Christian by hearing that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. By repenting of your sins, confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Amen. And you will come up a new creature in Christ, having made the best decision of your life.
Amen.
After that, you live your life. Whether you get married or not, you choose a mate that is going to live heavenly for you.
Amen.
So that y'all can both get to heaven.
Yes.
And that would be the second most important decision that you make.
Amen.
Raise your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Some of us who have made mistakes, you let it go. Forgive yourself.
Yes.
And give yourself an assessment. You know, I've been bad.
Amen.
I've been worse. But you know what? I'm going to do better.
Amen.
And from this point on, I'm going to give my best effort.
Amen.
God has let me live in this country where I have food and water.
That's right.
I have air conditioning. I have access to health care. I have, they're throwing away vaccines because they have spoiled. You are in a land where there's plenty.
That's right.
And you want to complain. You may have complained in the past, but you know what? I see God has been gracious to me in my life.
Yeah.
I'm going to live a better life for him because he's been so merciful to me. And it's because of his grace and mercy I can give him and I can live a life that I see heaven, even though I may not get to the riches in this life. I'm not living dependent on my current situation. Like those in Hebrews, they were able to live because they had a vision in a distance of a land that was afar off. That's the reason why they left their land. That's the reason why they lived for God. Because they knew it was something better on the other side.
Amen.
If you stand up to the invitation, you can come as we together stand and sing for your encouragement.
Amen.
Oh.